Let me start out by telling you exactly what we're going to do. I want you to know it all happened because of prayer. I want you to keep that in your mind. And tonight we're going to see how it all started. I'll share that with you. And then what we need to do, I'll share that with you. And then how we need to do it. Those are the three things we're going to accomplish tonight. Does anybody know who this is up on the screen? Anybody? Oh, you don't know Don Noble. That's okay. Don happens to be the head of Maranatha Volunteers International. I'm sure you've heard of Maranatha. I can't even tell you how long he's been there. Pastor Thomas, do you know how long he's been there? Is it 40 years? Their anniversary is 40 years, but he's close to 40 years. He's been there a long time. Don used to be a friend of mine, or what is a friend of mine. Anyway, he's so busy, I never see him anymore. So, let me tell you how it all began. And it all happened with prayer. I was a brand new convert from Catholicism to Seventh-day Adventist. And I was living in northern Wisconsin, folks, and praise God that you've experienced such a beautiful church of this size, because I didn't experience that as a convert. I was in a little tiny church far away from everything, full of a lot of old people, which, by the way, I ended up valuing and realizing God always knew what He was doing, because those people nurtured me and got through the crisis of my life, and here I am today. And so I didn't know what it was like to... I didn't even know there was young people in the Adventist church, to be honest with you. I was 26 years old. Until after about 3 years in the church, 2 years in the church, the Duluth Church School teacher resigned. I happened to have just completed my master's degree in teaching high school biology. And because I was one of those young, new, on fire for the Lord Seventh-day Adventists, they asked me to be the church school teacher. Never been to an Adventist school. And so I said yes. And one of the first things they said to me was, okay, well, we have these teachers' meetings, and they'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and at the Minneapolis Junior Academy. And I went down there, and I'll tell you, I thought I died and went to heaven. I didn't know there were young people in the Seventh-day Adventist church. Here was a whole gymnasium full almost. And Don Noble was the Bible teacher of Minneapolis Junior Academy. And I mean, we just hit it off immediately. And so I'll never forget how I was singing, driving home all by myself back to Duluth, Minnesota. And pretty soon I got a call from Don. He says, why don't you come down for the weekend? And I said, I'd love to come down for the weekend. He goes to this big church called Minnetonka, and all those teachers at that church school there that we met at, I thought that would really be neat to fellowship with these people, even though I dearly loved my precious brothers and sisters, godly mentors that God gave me in that little tiny church, which wasn't Duluth, Minnesota, by the way. For me, it was Superior, Wisconsin. I lived across the church line, the state line. I was the head elder of the little tiny Superior, Wisconsin church. And I thank my Lord to this day that the pastor of Duluth, Minnesota let me do such a thing. Because as a head elder of the Superior, Wisconsin church, I had a lot of responsibilities because the pastor had four churches. And so I'm driving down there to be with Don, and I'll never forget, we went to church, and here's this church this big full of people, and a lot of them were young. And then we went out, I don't remember what we did, because all of that completely blanked out for what happened next. And it all happened during prayer, because of prayer. Whether we went to bed, and Don had a one-bedroom apartment, and he put me on his couch very comfortably, and I'm laying there on his couch, and it was a beautiful setting. He was in an apartment building, and out the back was nothing but wooded area, you know. Even in on the outskirts of Minneapolis, or even in Minneapolis, it's almost in certain spots just like country. It is so beautiful up there. And so I just really enjoyed the beauty of the nature and everything. I lay down on the couch and I go sound asleep until early in the morning. I couldn't tell what time it was. It was so dark. I heard some rustling by Don, and he went into the bathroom and he took a shower. I thought, what in the world is he doing on a Sunday morning in a shower? And he got done in the shower, and then the door quietly opened. You know, he made sure there was no lights and minimal amount of noise. And then Don rustled around with something, and he came into the living room, and he snuck over to the balcony sliding doors, and he just opened the curtains a little bit, and he smoothed something out on the floor, and he knelt down on his knees. And I'm peering through the darkness at his silhouette, trying to figure out, what is Don doing? And you remember what my first name is, don't you? Peter. And so Peter said, Don, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying. I said, praying? What's that? He said, well, every morning I have my devotions. And I said, devotions? What's that? Do you think I'm kidding you? I was brought into this church in evangelistic meetings. I want you to know I didn't know about prayer and devotions. And so I could see Don, as dark as it was, I now can look back and I see Don like, oh man, he's interrupting my prayer time. He sits down close by me in the dark. He says, you don't know what devotions are? And I said, no, nobody told me about devotions. And he said, well, he said, I get up every morning and I take a shower first. And when I'm all clean, I kneel down by this window here and I say my prayers, and then when I'm done, I read my Bible, and then when I'm done, I read in my Spirit of Prophecy book. I go, why did you do that? Well, he said, because that's how you grow and get to know Christ more and understand how to be Christian and receive power. He said, look, he said, here are the tapes that help me. I'm going to give them to you. And that gives you an idea how long ago. That was tapes. Morris Vendon did a week of prayer down in Arizona Academy, Thunderbird Academy, about a devotional life. And so Don gave me those tapes, folks. I'll tell you, I no sooner got in my car when I had to leave to go back to Duluth, Minnesota. I listened to as many tapes as I could even before I got home, and I listened to them over and over again. And those tapes changed my life. No. Those tapes saved my life. Because from those tapes, without anybody really explaining to me except for the tapes, I found a real relationship with Jesus Christ besides the intellectual information I had received that I knew was truth. Why, you say, was I baptized? Because as a Catholic, you're taught to obey God in the Bible. Sabbath, state of the dead, eternal burning hell, vegetarianism, all those things. And I believe if those divine circumstances hadn't worked out that way, I don't know where I'd be today. But I can tell you because of them, I'm here and I want to share this with you. I want you to know it all happened because of prayer. And every night you will hear a story, a miraculous story that God performed in behalf of me and nobody because of prayer. So now I invite you, if you would, to turn with me in your Bible to Matthew. Matthew, the 26th chapter, and we're going to look at counsel to the remnant. We're going to see that the Bible is very explicit on what God expects from the remnant. And I love that name, remnant, because indeed the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the remnant church. And we need to understand the counsels that God has given us And so let's take a look at this Matthew 26. Let's go right away to verse 36. And let's read where it says in my Bible, the prayer in the garden, and see what this has to do with the experience that I had and how we can apply it to our Christian lives today and be ready for what's coming. Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "My God, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but that thou will." Please notice, first and foremost, this was a time of crisis. Now, if you want to be reestablished in that, notice the chain here. Verse 36 clearly says, verse 37 clearly says, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And verse 38 it says, he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto what? Death." This was a time of crisis. And you see, I believe we are in a crisis. If you don't understand that we're in an economic, a political, a religious crisis in all of everything, I want you to know we're in a spiritual crisis. Why? Because all 10 of the virgins were sleeping. Until the cry came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," it says they all woke up. Have you dealt with that yet, folks? Not only the 5 foolish virgins, but the 5 wise virgins were sleeping. We're in a spiritual crisis. Jesus was in a crisis. So let's see what happens. But there's something else I want you to notice first. And that is, in this crisis, Jesus had a select group. Now, there's a couple preachers in this room, so I got to confess I may be taking some theological liberties here, okay? And I do that once in a while when I feel that God has given me permission. You see, Peter, James, and John were different from the other 8. Notice I didn't say 9, right? Because one of the other 9 was already gone, right? He looked at them and he said, "You guys stay here and pray." And then he said, "Peter, James, and John, come with me. Be closer by my side. Stay right here now as I go over there and pray." Jesus had a select group. So why are we so afraid today in this modern age to use the term remnant? We are because it's judgmental, we're told, okay? Because it's exclusive. And to some degree, I want to tell you my experience is that we Adventists have been sort of arrogant. In fact, sometimes we seem to act like the Jehovah's Witnesses. "Well, if you don't listen to me, we got the truth. You go to church on the wrong day anyway, so I'm going to shake off the dust and move on." You know, I tell all my congregations, we were not sent here to set straight everybody theologically. We were sent here to reach out to them in their need, and then when they ask the question, we tell them the answers. We're here not to be ministered to, but to minister. Isn't that what Jesus said? And so I want you to know that Jesus had a select group. We should not be ashamed and embarrassed, but we should certainly not be arrogant and bigoted. In fact, it should make us be more careful of our relationship with God because we're more fully representing Him than other Christians are. How sad it is that other Christians who do not have the spirit of prophecy are better Christians than we Adventists who do. He had a select group. Now, He did not love the eight. He loved them just as much, but He had a select group. And He brought them near to Him. And He said, I want you to stay right here. Remain here while I go over there, you know. And I see us today getting up like we're tired of how long we've been waiting for Him over there. And we're starting to wander off a little bit, folks. We are. We've got some new ideas. These will work. Man, this will really help. We'll get more converts this way. You know, if we just weren't so, you know, so rigid and, you know, this is the modern age and, you know, culture. We got to identify with the people better. He said, remain right here. Read it in your Bible. Remain right here while I go over there and pray. Stay close by me. Don't get distracted. And I fear that our church is getting distracted. No. Some of the members and leaders in our church are being distracted, folks. And so I'm here because God must really love you guys. And He must know that you can take it. That you're ready for it. So Jesus had a select group. But I want you to check this out. Jesus gave the select group, which I call the remnant, counsel. So I want you to look closely at verse 41. And look what Jesus said to them. And then He came to His disciples and found them sleeping, verse 40, and said to Peter, what? Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I guess I was going to try to really trim this down, but the Spirit is urging me to share one little thought with you before we get to the council, because my heart aches, for my name is Peter, and I'm afraid too often I identify with Him. And when Jesus is in the crisis of His life, and He had a select group that He asked to do a certain task, when He came from this crisis, in His weakness and His desire for support, He looked and He found His inner circle, Peter, sound asleep. Peter, couldn't you wait with me for 1 hour? I needed you and James and John at this time. And I come here and you couldn't even stay awake. And when you watch your videos, they last an hour and a half or 2 hours and you don't sleep. Couldn't you stay awake, Peter, for 1 hour? And then when they finally aroused, and by the way, how do I know this? Notice He said, Peter. He didn't say, you disciples. He said, Peter, couldn't you stay awake with me? He's talking to the select group. I needed your support. I read My Desire of Ages. I get to this part. Tears come down. Why? And it isn't fake. It's because my name is Peter. And I thought, Lord, would I have let you down in time of need? You know, she said He looked for human companionship. Jesus wanted to know that somebody cared. And His select group didn't care. They were sleeping. They were overcome. And then He gave them the counsel. Notice what He said in verse 41. And this is the counsel to us today. This is what starts our whole week of prayer. This is what God has used to get us to think and stop and ponder. He said, watch and pray. That's what He said after He came back, worked through His disappointment, woke the disciples up, and was sure by now they were alert enough to catch what He said. Watch and pray is what He said. Now that word watch is gregoreo in the Greek Not that it matters to you, it just sometimes people in the congregation know this stuff and really like this stuff. But you'll all enjoy this. In the Greek, a Greek verb, watch, this is action, says five things. And it's amazing how one word says five things. And that means this was a present active imperative second person plural. And believe me, my worst course throughout my life was English. Okay? And it wasn't until I took Greek that I started to understand English. You all know what an imperative is, don't you? An imperative is what? A nice idea? A suggestion? A bit of information? It's a command. Jesus said, watch! And present means that it's something you continue to do. It's an action that's repeated over and over again. Present, active, imperative. You must watch and keep watching. Second person plural means you. Not Peter, but you. You remnant, you small group of mine. You must watch. It means to keep awake. Watch. Both literally and figuratively, to be vigilant. In fact, notice what it says in the Greek dictionary. It denotes a mindfulness of threatening danger, which with constant earnestness and an alert mind keeps one from what? Drowsiness and all slacking in energy of faith and conduct. I didn't write that. That came out of the Greek dictionary. That one word, gregoretto, in this place meant that. Denoted a mindfulness of threatening danger which with constant earnestness and an alert mind keeps one from drowsiness. Peter, you just said you would die for me and you couldn't even stay awake 1 hour. And then he said the next thing. He said what? He said, I want you to pray. Pros erkomai. Present middle imperative second person, plural. So it's a present again, so it's a repeated action. It's right now. Now, it's an imperative. So watch and pray. But I want you to know it's middle voice. Now, the English doesn't have a middle voice. The English has a present voice and the English has a passive voice. You didn't know I was an English scholar now, did you? I told you I almost flunked English all my life. In the Greek, the middle voice means that the subject does the action for its own benefit. Okay? The active voice means the subject does the action. The passive voice means the action is done on the subject. But in the middle voice, it means the subject does the action for its own benefit. Second person plural. All of you better pray all the time for your own good. That's what it means. So in a time of crisis, Jesus said to the remnant, I need you to be watching. I need you to be praying. In fact, then he puts in a little word called, oh. Notice that the word prayer in this case and in many places in the New Testament, pros erkomai, it's made up of two words, pros, to or towards, and erkomai, which means to wish. And they all the scholars and all the Greek scholars say clearly that wish towards God. So you're moving towards God. That's what the word prayer means. I thought you'd love this because we say pray and me too, right? We all think of this. This is pray. But in the Greek, it means you're moving towards God, see? You're coming, as Ellen White says, so that He can bring you up into His presence. Pros erchomai. So we move towards God and we wish. And then the little word, henna. Watch and pray so that, henna means so that with a result, so that what? Did you notice that? If you watch and if you pray, what does it say the result will be? See, you got to look at your Bibles. Am I going to say shame on you if you didn't bring your Bibles tonight? The sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon a Christian has is the Bible. Go everywhere that you go. What does it say? That you don't fall into temptation. There's the issue. Are you struggling with a sin, folks? Then pray. Watch and pray. If you do that, Peter, James, and John, you won't fall into this temptation. The Spirit of God will come and answer to your prayer and revive you and strengthen you. He will prepare you for what you're going to shortly see happen to me. I need you guys to be awake and to be doing exactly what I'm counseling you to do. And then you'll make it through. And notice he summed it all up. And here's why we have our church schools. He said, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We got to teach this to our children. We got to help them understand that unless Jesus lives in your heart, you will act up the desires of your human flesh, which are sin always. There is none that seeks after God. None are righteous, no, not one. And so the counsel to the remnant is, I want you to watch and I want you to pray. And if you do, you will not enter into temptation. I do need to change that though. If you do, you'll be strengthened to deal with the temptation and have the ability to say no. Now, before I move to the next thing, which I want you to clearly see, I want to tell you something. Do you understand I'm a minister? I have temptations. Do you understand I'm a convert? So it's likely that I have more baggage than some of you. Do you remember when Satan came, when Jesus was talking to the disciples just before he went to the Garden of Eden? He says, the prince of this world cometh, but he finds nothing in me. Well, folks, when the prince of this world comes to Peter, there's a lot of stuff there that he can work on. And unless I'm watching and I'm praying, I guarantee I am a dead duck. And so I want you to keep that in your mind. So watch this. You must keep on watching. You must keep on praying so that you enter not into temptation, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want you to see a quote that's lengthy. And before I read it to you and you look at it closely, I want to tell you a story which will help see why I use this. Anybody who knows me knows that I will find a sentence or two out of the Spirit of Prophecy that supports what we said. This is not a sentence or two, and this isn't the only slide. I had the privilege of doing the chapel at the GC during one of the year-end meetings. I was an invitee to speak for a specific purpose by a specific group, which was quite a privilege. And believe me, I have no idea why I got it, except that God arranged it. But I was scared to death. And so what they specifically asked me to do was similar to this here. And before I arrived there, I found this quote. And it is so powerful, but yet I don't use lengthy Ellen White quotes because it gives people the wrong impression, even though I devour her books for myself. And so it just so happens that the person I'm staying with, I land in BWI and my friend picks me up and takes me to his house. His name is Jim Nix. He is the head of the White Estate. And before I went to bed, I said, Jim, I need some counsel. I said, I have struggled with this and I just don't know what to do. He said, I want to read to you the quote I'm going to close with. And I need you to show me how I can contract it because I told him what I told you. I really don't like to hit people over the head with. Not only that, the longer it is, the less you're going to understand. That's the truth. I read it to Jim. He said, Peter, he said, you cannot tear this down. And all I'm going to tell you is this. When I closed my sermon with this quote, the North American Division leadership, I heard gasps throughout the crowd. It impacted us all that way. And my prayer is that it will impact all of us, including me, that way tonight. Here's what it says. An intensity such as never before was seen is taking possession of the world. In amusement, in money making, in contests for power, the very struggle for existence. There is a terrible force that engrosses body, mind, and soul. In the midst of this maddening rush, Jesus is speaking. He bids us, come apart and commune with me. Be still and know that I am God. Many, even in their seasons of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. Why? They are in too great haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting or counsel. He bids us come apart and commune with Him. Many in their seasons of devotion fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. They are in too great haste. With hurried steps they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precinct, but not waiting for counsel. With hurried steps they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. These workers can never attain the highest success until they learn the secret of strength. They must give themselves time to what? Think, to pray, to wait upon God for a renewal of physical, mental, and spiritual power. They need the uplifting influence of His Spirit. Receiving this, they will be quickened by fresh life. The wearied frame and tired brain will be strengthened, and the burdened heart will be lightened. Not a pause for a moment in His presence, but personal contact with Christ. To sit down in companionship with Him, this is our need. And now I invite you to notice in summation before we kneel for prayer how we need to do it. We need to pray daily. Folks, do you have a special time in which you get up or you set aside during the day, preferably the morning if you work at night, that you spend with God? Do you even know that Jesus had select places of prayer that were His favorite? In fact, you tell me one of them right now. Pardon? Garden of Gethsemane was His very favorite place to pray. Mount of Blessings, 84. Jesus had select places to pray, so should we. Daily Bible reading. And, maybe to a surprise to you, daily Spirit of Prophets reading. Let me tell you what I learned from Morris Vendon years ago. And as I said, was all part and parcel of what I just shared with you. Changed my life. He said, you take the book Desire of Ages, Christ Object Lessons, Mount of Blessings, Steps to Christ. Those four books. But I found a fifth one. You ever hear of Confrontation? It's a book written from sermons Ellen White preached on the temptations of Jesus in Matthew 4. He said, you read these books one at a time, and when you're done, you go over and do it again. So he said, every morning I get up and I pray. When I'm done, I then read my Bible. And then I read my Spirit of Prophecy. Whatever book he's on, where he left off, he starts. Until he finishes the book and goes to the next. Then I learned a good idea, and that was this. In the Desire of Ages, Christ Object Lesson, Mount of Blessings especially, at the bottom it tells you where in your Bible the story is. So I started taking, saying my prayer, and then opening my Bible to the reading found in Desire of Ages, or Christ Object Lessons, or Mount of Blessings. And before I read the Spirit of Prophecy, I would read the Bible. Because we are to bring the Bible to people, not the Spirit of Prophecy. I wanted to practice what I'm supposed to do. And when I finished my Bible reading and I prayed and I wanted insights from God, I then read the Spirit of Prophecy to see what I missed. And I went through all these books more than once. I want to encourage you to do this, folks. So you see, it all happened because of prayer. And the revival and reformation will only happen because of prayer. I want you to kneel with me now for a couple of minutes, and please follow my directions if you would. Father in heaven, in the moments remaining, I want you to lead out in this prayer time. And Lord, I know the first thing we're supposed to do is to praise you. For when the disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray, you said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And Lord, one day I thought about that and I thought, wait a minute. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Lord, that implies that I'm trying to hallow my name. That I have a tendency to increase my kingdom. And that the truth is, I want my will. Oh Lord, teach me how to surrender to you. And teach me how to start my prayer with praise. For you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now I'm going to pause, and while I do, in your head silently, I want you to say a praise sentence or phrase to God right now. Lord, I know you heard those. And I know there's a smile on your face. We're told even the most feeble prayer causes Satan and his host to tremble, because the Spirit takes our prayers and brings them to you as if Jesus prayed them. Lord, I want you to help us to be honest and open. For we need to humble ourselves before you. And as soon as we humble ourselves, you will answer prayer like never before. And so, Lord, I want you to speak to every person right now. I want you to move on their heart and mind and impress them with something. Is it a sin they need to confess? Is it a weakness that they've never admitted? Do we have controversy with someone in the church and we refuse to make amends? Is there a problem that we're facing that we've never prayed to you about because we felt you were too busy or it was too trivial to talk to you? Father, move on each heart right now. Say something to each one of us, including me. Because this proves that you exist and answer prayer. Now, if the Lord has said something to you, I want you to talk back to Him about whatever it is He said to you. Right now. And Lord, I thank you for reminding me. Because indeed, one place where I was, and after I got done doing this, somebody said I was trying to hypnotize the congregation. And Lord, I want you to make it plain to each person we're focusing on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are following the command you gave to your disciples to approach you, our Father, which art in heaven. And I want you to teach us how to be honest and open with you and how to listen to your voice so we can respond to what you say or lead our minds to think about. And now I want you, Lord, to continue to speak to us, because sometimes I come so distracted to a meeting where there's prayer. And it takes more than one attempt for me to hear something. So if there's anybody here who didn't hear anything, Lord, do not let them be discouraged. In fact, often I've gone home and after the fact you spoke to me and I realized that was a late response to what happened earlier. And you can do that, Lord, because maybe somebody needs to be in a more private place when this happens. But now I want to invite everybody here to tell Jesus, what do you want God to do for you spiritually? Tell Him right now. And don't be timid. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. The book Education says that God is pleased when we put the highest demands upon Him. What do you want God to do for you spiritually? What would you like God to do for you mentally? What would you like for Him to do for you physically? Tell Him. Ask Him. And if you can think of a promise that goes along with your request, claim it in the name of Jesus. Yes, Father, if you reveal the sin to somebody in this sanctuary tonight, the Bible clearly says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I claim that in the name of Jesus because I sinned against You, Lord, and I am sorry and I want power to overcome. And now, Lord, I'd like You to impress each person. What do You especially want them to remember from tonight's presentation? It all happened because of prayer. And please, if you're like me, I always beg my Savior, not because He needs to be begged, but because I forget. I say, Lord, remind me. Remind me that You and I made this deal. Please don't let me forget. Now, if there's anybody you'd like to pray for tonight, as we close our prayer here, I'm going to pause. There might be somebody you want to pray for right now. Maybe God brought a name to your mind, or maybe you've got a loved one, a friend, a neighbor who's hurting. Intercede in their behalf for them right now. Lord, I want to ask You bless this church. I want to ask You bless Pastor Holland, his leadership here, his staff. I want to pray, Lord, that You would bless Pastor Thomas and the Review and Herald. And that You would especially bless the week of prayer that will be starting tomorrow morning there, and that You would remind everybody here to please pray for that tomorrow morning at 7:00. And now I want You, Lord, to close this prayer by saying anything to anybody here. Additional counsel. It says we don't wait for counsel. So we're going to be quiet and listen to see if there's any counsel before we thank You and close this prayer.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.